You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilp.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
Friday.
Friday. Another Friday is upon us.
Time for a radio show.
Yes. And I think we need to start and let Dan tell us about the comics that he's read, because we've talked over them for the past two Fridays.
Two Fridays? The past 3 years?
The past two Fridays.
In the history of this show, there's been one show that I actually spoke at length and passionately, and that was the one that was completely about Doctor Who.
Exactly. Well, yeah. You were running around the studio. Your arms were waving.
I was jumping up and down.
You got the extended cord on your headphone because you were just Martin, stop opening toys.
I'm opening toys.
Mint in box.
Forget mint in box. That's a hoot.
Yeah. Anyways, Dan, let's talk comics.
Now I'm on the spotlight here. Yep. I can't. All right, I don't know if I want to talk about everything that I've read right away.
Did you buy that for me?
I did not buy that for you. I read it for me.
Oh, okay.
You never read that before?
No, I've never read that before. What I've got here, we were speaking about it last week. Stop peeking into my bag, Marty.
I'm not peeking in your bag. We were checking your levels.
Speaking about this last week, the Dennis O'Neill, Neil Adams, Green Lantern, Green Arrow run. Known as the Hard Traveling Heroes.
One of the seminal, greatest pieces of American literature ever.
Of American literature.
Absolutely.
Ever.
Absolutely. I would put that up against Steinbeck, against I don't know who. I was just joking because Sam was talking about American literature last week, and I was like at home sitting on the couch going, aren't we Canadian? Shouldn't we be talking about Canadian literature?
Well,
I mean, I read Stone Angels and the Chrysalids
and
Margaret Atwood and Mordecai Richter, but American literature?
It's okay to talk about American literature.
Well, they sure as heck aren't talking about Canadian literature.
But that's what makes us different. We're okay with talking about ourselves and them.
I can't open this package and it's driving me nuts.
So, yeah, after Sam was talking about this run last week, I was like, you know what? I've had this on the shelf for probably 5 years and not read it. Two volumes, and I just went straight home from the show, read the first two issues of the run, and then I've read an issue a day since then, give or take. The first volume that I've got collects Green Lantern 76 to 82. And so I finished that one this week, and it's great. It's inspiring.
Well, the other big thing about it is the historical context in which it came out of. When that came out, you know, Batman was fighting against giant, huge blue phones, and Superman was meeting his cousin Hyperman in Montreal. You know, and silly stories like this, and then this comes out. Yeah. Not only are you blown away by Neil Adams' hyper-realistic art compared to, Wayne Boring and Kurt Swan and all those other guys that are doing DC stuff at the time, then Denny O'Neill hits you with all these social issues and stuff like this, and it is a very important piece of work, in my opinion.
I would agree. And I'm a huge Green Lantern fan, and I bought it because I knew it was important. It's just one of those things that got tucked to the side because whatever, there's always something else to read. But, you know, I had to make it be important enough to read. Mm-hmm. And it is great. It's as relevant now as it was then. Maybe the issues have changed slightly, but not that much. Mm-hmm. Like, it's actually kind of sad to read this and be like, yeah, that's still an issue. This is from literally 1971, and they're still dealing with, yep.
So it's older than me.
They're still dealing with these same issues. And it's also great because, like, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, they're two very different heroes.
Yeah.
And when you smash them together, you know, you've got Green Arrow, like, literally punching Hal Jordan and being like, stop standing up for the man, like, stop standing up for the law, like, the law isn't always right, and... You know, Green Lantern's like, then we have to find justice appropriately. It can't just be a hot-headed beat everybody up. And it's a great mashup of the personalities and just a great series that I would definitely recommend. I'm going to finish. The second volume has a few more Green Lantern issues, and then it goes into some Flash issues that feature the two of them, Green Lantern and Green Arrow as well. So
yeah,
going to read that.
I'll have to pick those up for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to collect Green Lantern, but some of those issues are a little pricey.
These ones specifically are very pricey.
Yeah.
I remember, Marty, we were talking about Green Lantern 76 probably a year and a half ago, that somebody was selling a 0.5 CG seed, and it was up to like $70, $80, $90, maybe even in the 100 range or higher for a 0.5.
It's ridiculous.
Because, like, after reading this, I did go online to look to see what eBay prices were, because I was like, man, it would be nice to have this actual comic series. But maybe one day, maybe one day.
That's right.
So that's one of the things that I've read.
Well, it took me, like, this year, I finally got the last of the Hard Traveling Heroes original issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that was the
John Stewart.
Don Stewart issue, yeah.
I got it's from 2013-ish. I've had a few issues, but I think it was 2013 where I kind of got a little bit more serious about trying to get the series.
Yeah,
and that's how long it took me to find decent enough issues in decent enough shape at a decent enough price. Right, like you can go to eBay and blow a wad of cash and get it tomorrow, but that's you know, that's not really the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Says who?
Yeah.
Probably the wad of cash I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's one that I read this week, but it wasn't one of the ones that I have brought previous weeks.
Right.
Here's one that's a little dated now, but would have been a great one for around the Christmas season, which is Secret Santas, an independent comic from Ben Grisanti and... Lucas Kowalczuk?
Chuck, I'd go with Chuck.
Yeah, I'm just don't not sure. Martin. I'm looking at Marty.
Oh, I gotta look at it.
And nice. This is a pretty fun independent comic. I say fun, but like it's not fun in the way that other independent comics are.
You want to know how I would pronounce this?
Go ahead.
Kowalczuk.
Okay.
But
one of us is right.
But I'm not sure whether
probably. You know,
I'm not sure whether he's Polish or Czech or Ukrainian or what, but in Polish that would be Kowalczyk.
This is the story of a dad whose kid wants the hot toy for that year, and he just doesn't have enough money. But he hears about an underground secret Santa ring where you throw what you want into a hat, and everybody draws out something from the hat, and they each get that thing for the other person to basically get all his stuff. And so... while he throws in this, like, Nintendo system, video game system into the hat, he pulls out plans to the nuclear power plant. And so he has to go about finding plans to the nuclear power plant.
And if he doesn't get them?
Bad things happen to him. Okay. It's unspecified, except bad things will happen to you. And, that's interesting. Yeah, it's very, you know... I can't say too much about it, but it was a fun read. Like I said, not fun in the classic sense, but I enjoyed reading it, and it was interesting. And I love Ben's writing. Met him at Whitcalf. He came up. He lives in Buffalo and came up out of Buffalo to visit us at Whitcalf, and that was pretty cool. Got my copy then, and I got a whole whack of zines from him because I did the Kickstarter for Secret Santas and did a zine thing, but I haven't had a chance to read any of those zines yet. They're on my pile as well. So that's two things that I read so far.
Mm-hmm.
And now you guys can talk about something else. And I've got lots more to, if we need it.
Yeah.
That's all the talking I can do at once.
Well, I brought a topic for last week just in case we needed it. But I don't even know if we really need to talk about it because it's just so stupid. The whole Bill Maher. Bill Maher stuff.
Oh,
like,
Dornell.
He's just like, everyone's right. You know, they're entitled to their own opinion. But if you go as far as insulting a whole culture of people.
Well, see, for anybody who doesn't know, Bill Maher got on his little TV show Soapbox there and basically said that Stan Lee was not the greatest creator of modern mythology, which is completely false. He is. Like, you tell me what 20th century mythology has been created other than Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and all that sort of stuff. Like, but anyways, and then he started basically saying, you know, comic books are childish and comics are for kids. And if you read comic books, you're a nerd, you're weak-minded individual. And I'm not going to put words into what he said.
The 2019 Alan Moore.
Yeah, like basically it's the exact same thing that every single comic book reader has had to put up with since he was 8.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, since he was 8.
Yeah.
Oh, you like getting dressed up in a Star Trek costume? What a nerd, says the guy who's dressed up in a Green Bay Packers football sweater with a big piece of green cheese on his head.
Yeah.
Oh, you go to a convention and you guys all like talk about stuff and you nerd out and stuff and you go and you see like creators and people that are in movies and stuff. What a nerdy thing to do as he heads to a sporting card convention or the sporting game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, give me a break. People have interests. This is our interest. This is what we do. This is something, it's harmless. It doesn't cause anybody any problems or grief, you know, and there was no reason for him to piss on an entire population of people that do this. Now, Bill gets paid to be controversial. He gets paid to cause a fuss and generate buzz. And, you know, that's his whole role in life. And he's also a bit of a minimalist. Like, he doesn't, he has the same opinion of anybody who collects cars.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't understand collecting cars.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't understand all that sort of stuff. He's got no kids. He's got no wife. You know, all of his money, he supports a few charities and stuff like this. Like, he's a nice enough guy. But it just...
Yeah.
I dropped the F-bomb, but you're not allowed to.
Well, I mean, he did. A culture that thinks that comic books and comic book movies are profound meditations on the human condition is a dumb effing culture.
Well,
I don't think it's a huge stretch to suggest that Donald Trump could only get elected in a country that thinks comic books are important.
Oh, I'm willing to bet you that the majority of Donald Trump supporters who voted for Donald Trump can't read a comic book.
That's right. That's right.
The only thing they can read is the Bible. That's the only thing they know how to read. They can't read anything else.
Yeah.
Like, give me a break.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that comic books are profound. You know, but they are a legitimate literary device. And it's only America that thinks this way.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Japan and comic books, you know, their version of comic books, right, manga, is culturally accepted. You go to France and comic books in France are usually these super expensive hardcover volumes painted and fully illustrated and available in finer bookstores and libraries and stuff. It's only America that has this, oh, comic books are for kids. And you can thank Wortham for that nonsense, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's like, can we stop pretending that the writing in comic books is so good? Oh, please. Every superhero movie is the same thing. A person who doesn't have powers gets them and has to figure out how they work. and then they find the glowy thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty
glowy thing's my favorite part.
And every single Oscar-winning movie in the past few years is about pain and suffering. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times can you, like, every single rom-com is the exact same story.
I know, yeah.
Like, if I was a rich, successful guy with a pretty girlfriend and I lived in New York, I'd be worried. She's going to go home and she's going to get hooked up with the with the hometown hardware store owner. Yeah. And I'm going to lose my girl. Like, give me a break. I don't know.
So who responded?
Oh, I'm sure a bunch of people.
A lot of people. I mean, Kevin Smith, a lot of people.
Now, the other thing that, in his defense, there's a lot of comic book writing out there that's crap.
Yeah.
You know, that's formulaic and nonsensical and garbage. But you whip out something like The Watchmen. Okay. The giant vagina squid monster at the end of Watchmen is so ridiculous and so overtop, stupid comic booky. Yeah. But the rest of it is a great story. You know, V for Vendetta was amazing. Killing Joke is amazing. Mm-hmm. Was the last six issues of Batman amazing? No. You know?
Well, we know it's not the same as good as it used to be.
Like, there's still some pretty classic stories being told now. You know, there's some pretty epic books out there. Like, Saga is just, it is a saga. It's a great freaking comic book. Yeah. You know, if that was turned into a science fiction novel and not presented in a graphic format, I'm sure it would have won literary, you know, science fiction awards. Mm-hmm. But who knows? Excuse me, maybe Bill poops on science fiction too.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
I feel like you can't like fantasy science fiction and then just be like, superheroes are garbage, because it's all very interconnected.
Yeah.
Well, it was Peter David, among others.
Oh, Peter David had the best rebuttal.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the one I reposted on Facebook a few times to a few different groups.
Yeah. So fans love to argue. They are particularly big on arguing who their heroes can defeat. And periodically they gather in large crowds, sometimes numbering over 50,000. They pay ridiculous entry fees to get in, and many of them dress up like their favorites. In the places where they gather, they cheer on their respective faves, chant together, eat, and hang together. They buy a ton of merchandise, dropping hundreds of dollars at a time, and if they're lucky, they get an autograph and go home happy. Hell, on a rare occasion, they even attend parades dedicated to their heroes. And that's just Met fans.
Yeah.
Right?
That's just baseball fans.
And, you know, and hockey fans and football fans. And
like, I'm willing to bet you there is way more people buying NFL sweaters in North America, like NFL uniforms, than there are people buying Batman t-shirts.
Yeah.
Like, I guarantee you that the New York Mets make more money on merchandise sales than Captain Canuck ever did.
Yeah.
Like, give me a break.
Yeah. And this, I guess Mayer owns a part of the Mets as well. So, yeah, you know. Anyways.
Well, but that's why he was picking on the Mets in particular. Yeah. He could have picked on any one of the major sports teams. And don't get me wrong, I got a bunch of hockey sweaters in my closet.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't walk around saying, you know, your fandom is ridiculous. My fandom is better.
But this was the best thing. All of these games, they involve balls. Isn't that interesting? Large ones, small ones, that get bounced or hit or thrown. Balls, which are, you know, one of the favorite toys of babies.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways.
I don't know. It's just ridiculous. I mean, why? I guess the question is, like, I know he, like I said, he's controversial. His whole purpose in life is to make ratings and get people interested. He's been thrown off of two TV shows for saying, you know, mouthing off and being lippy. That's his shtick. That's his stand-up comedy routine. That's who Bill Maher is.
Yeah.
But why, what's, it was low-hanging fruit. He didn't have to go where he did, and he didn't have to go as hard as he did, and he didn't have to do it twice.
The whole thing that prompted it is what ticks me off the most, and that's Stan Lee's death. Because he thought that all the hype and hubbub about Stan Lee was just over the top. And that's what started the whole rant. And then his second rant, he said, well, I wasn't attacking Stan Lee specifically. It was blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
blah,
but
blah.
You did. Yeah. You did attack Stan Lee specifically.
It's like,
you know, by making it a eulogy for Stan, you know, on his death, you did make it about Stan. You were talking about Stan because you could have brought this up 6 months later. You could have brought it up 6 months earlier. No, you brought it up because people were saying, oh, Stan Lee. And yet, when you talk about modern mythology and stuff, right? William Shakespeare and the Shakespearean plays and the Lone Ranger and all that kind of other stuff. Stan Lee is responsible for how many billions of dollars of economic growth / activity / whatever since 1961 when he created those characters.
That's kind of what the bigger part was. Well, some of it that ticks me off. So you don't want Hollywood to make these movies where not just these high-paying actors, but hundreds of other people get paid. They have jobs. You want them to not have jobs and not make these movies? Like, it's just ridiculous.
Damn. Here's a thought. Let's bring it back to classic American literature. Death of a Salesman. Bill Maher is Willie Loman, and he's upset because he sees people, Stanley dies, and there's an outpouring of grief, and there's this just, everybody's like, Stanley has made such a difference in all of these lives. And he's like, oh, but I'm not going to have that same sort of outpouring, so I've got to tear him down.
He is not.
That's why you do something like that. He's trying to tear somebody down because he's jealous that he'll never have that same sort of attitude when he passes. So he just wants to get more people to his funeral. And if he can't, he's going to try to tear Stan Lee down.
And that's
F you, Bill Maher. That's what I got to say.
That's pretty deep because, like I said, he has no kids. He's got no legacy, really. He's got no wife. I'm sure he has a girlfriend.
Or two.
You know, whatever. But he doesn't have that legacy, right? He doesn't have, you know, that. I mean, that's literally what human beings, you know, I'm going to pass and I live on through my children, right? He doesn't have that. So yeah, like he doesn't have the career that Stan Lee did. Sure, I'm positive there are people in his life that are going to mourn his passing. You know, like I said, he's not a horrible guy. You know, he's pretty generous with some of his money, and he supports a lot of, you know, I think he's a very influential Democrat as far as, like, you know, he's not a bad guy. Nobody's going to name a Bill Maher Day when he passes. Nobody's going to be parading, you know. He's not going to be on the front page of every newspaper like Stan was. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think your analogy hits it right on the head there, Dan. I really do.
See, my biggest issue is that this world is full of misery and hate and darkness.
Really?
Yeah. If people find something they love to do, it makes them happy, then back off.
Well, see, right? that's one of the reasons why I really, really can't stand people pooping and crapping on movies before they've even seen them. Because
exactly.
Like, I'm just going to the movie theater to forget about that my wife left me. I'm forgetting about kids' problem with kids. I'm forgetting about, you know, my car got smashed and now the insurance company is playing games and the body shop's playing games and taxes and the failing health of my parents. Take me away from that shit for an hour and a half to 2 hours.
That's right.
If you've done that,
yep,
I give you my $17.
Yep.
Happily.
Exactly. We all need something that makes us happy, that makes us forget about all the crap. And it doesn't matter what it is. As long as it's not hurting other people, obviously.
But yeah.
You can't bash somebody, like somebody, millions of people who read comic books as adults and say, you're stupid.
Well, not just the comic book readers, because more people are going to see this movie than there are comic book readers. We see that, like, the industry is not in the greatest condition that it's in, and yet Aquaman passes $1 billion worldwide.
Yeah. Yeah. And people are.
A billion people were happy for a few hours. Because a fish man swam in the water. Like, what's wrong with that?
Nothing is wrong with that. Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Like, it's just...
Like, is he just jealous because he likes the Phantom and the Phantom is, like, nobody cares about the Phantom anymore? Like, is that the problem?
Like, we all know that the next...
Is he mad that the Lone Ranger movie bombed?
Hey, never mind. I'm not going to...
Is he a big cowboy fan movie? Like, and he's upset that cowboy movies aren't popular anymore like they used to? Like, I don't know what his motivation was.
Yeah. We all know the next Avengers movie is just going to rake in the dough. Just insanity.
3 hours.
3 hours long.
It's going to be 3 hours long, they're saying.
I hope there's intermission because I'll need a pee break.
3 hours.
Oh, but Captain Marvel, like, everyone's looking forward to all this stuff.
I want to go to the Leafs game. It's $200 a ticket. Mm-hmm. Dinner is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. A beer is insane. I can't remember what the beer was. $32 or something nonsensical, or $17, whatever it was. It was just astronomically stupid. You buy a t-shirt or a ball cap, you're spending all this money. It can be more expensive to go to a Maple Leafs game with you and your kids than it is to go to Fan Expo mm-hmm. for the day. Mm-hmm. It can be. Now, you know, I mean, you can go to Fan Expo and drop $23,000 on a single comic book, but, you know, we're not talking about that. We're just talking about base entertainment. Mm-hmm. Like, give me a break. Just give me a break. I got enough stressors in my life, especially this freaking week, to you know, now have to deal with your nonsensical garbage and judgment because, you know, you don't like my funny books.
Mm-hmm. That's why you stay away from the internet.
Oh, yeah. The internet. I have actually stayed away from the internet quite a bit this week.
Yeah.
Just been too busy at work, too stressed, too tired.
Yeah. So we had some trailers during the Super Bowl. Let's stop talking about dumbass Aaron. What do we think?
Well, Captain Marvel first.
Haven't watched any of them.
Okay.
Can we do Avengers?
We're just going to turn our back to Dan like we always do.
Let's just talk about like in the lobby when I was like, oh, I meant to watch those trailers, and I started pulling up a few trailers, and then I was like, no, I don't have time, and I just stopped trying.
Like the Captain Marvel. The other thing is that I try to avoid overtly looking for trailers.
Yeah.
Because I just don't want to know that much before I go into the movie. Like, I don't want you to tell me everything.
And trailers these days are bad.
Oh, some of the trailers, there's just too much.
They show the best stuff.
So I saw the Captain Marvel trailer, but just once, just real quick.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the scenes were the same from before. And we know that, you know, what's his name? Help me out here. What's the guy's name? Marvel.
Nick Fury?
No, the actor. Handsome fella.
From which character?
Marvel.
I know who you mean. I just can't.
British guy. Funny as hell.
Yeah.
Handsome as shit.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we know he's in the movie.
Yeah.
And we know he's playing Captain Marvel. The actual, not Kree, Skrull, right? Mm-hmm. No, Kree. The actual Kree warrior who was the very first Captain Marvel. And in the comic books, he died of cancer and all that stuff, which was, again, anybody who doesn't read that graphic novel and say that that is mythology and poignant and touching, like, give me a break.
Yeah.
So we know he's in the movie. Jude Law.
Thank you.
We know he's in the movie. Yeah. You know, they just reinforced that. The cat's in the movie. She's in the movie. Nick Fury's in the movie. Like, we get it. Let's just get the movie. I want to watch the movie now.
Yeah. But, so Avengers comes on.
Yeah, the Avengers trailer.
That, to me, that's not a trailer. That's just another teaser.
Well, yeah. I mean, officially, isn't a trailer like 3 minutes?
Yeah, I don't know.
And what then that teaser is anything smaller?
Well, I don't know, but that Avengers one sucked. Like, I was just like, what? That's it? All it did was show the Avengers.
Again, like I said, you know, it's supposed to, for me, the best trailer gets the emotions going.
Yeah.
Well, and then makes me want to go see it.
Yeah, so I watched that going, what was that? And then a few minutes later, Captain Marvel comes on. I was like, oh, wow, that's awesome. And then Game of Thrones comes on. I'm going, oh, that's cool, too. But I don't know. Like, and people are speculating on Facebook, of course, that in the group shot of the Avengers, they actually digitally took some people out so you didn't see who was all there.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah.
But they've definitely done that before, though. Like, maybe not to that extent, but like first one, they took the gems off the gauntlet in the trailer so you wouldn't know that he had all the gems when he was fighting Captain America.
Yeah. And didn't they have, in one of the Avenger trailers, the Avengers group shots, they had Spider-Man photoshopped out?
Sounds likely.
Yeah.
So, like...
Yeah, I mean, they make trailers out of early cuts of scenes they filmed sometimes, right? Like, I specifically remember Star Wars Rogue One, where she's up on top of a gangplank and a TIE fighter comes up.
Yep.
Right? That was not in the movie.
But so, maybe that was just fan service. Like, they put this in. They're like, hey, we need to make the fans excited. So let's just shoot something that they'll go bananas for. But they won't remember. It's not in the thing. Well, but
some of it hits the cutting room floor.
Yeah, definitely some of the stuff hits the cutting room floor for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with them cutting special footage just for the trailer, too. Like,
That's no. Yeah, they can do that for sure, too.
Again, did it do its job of making me want to go see the movie? Yes. Could it have done a better job? Sure.
Yeah.
But I'm already going.
Yeah.
Like,
I am.
They don't have to put a lot of effort into it.
Yeah.
Everybody who saw the last one is going to go see this one.
Yeah.
I don't remember specifically who it was. Might have been Aishay Han after the first teaser was released, saying, like, why even bother? You don't need to. All you have to do is give us a date.
Yeah.
You don't need to give us a trailer. You don't even need to bother.
Yeah. Really. I mean, save your money on your promotion stuff and just make some Happy Meal toys, and away we go. Like, it's not a big deal. People are going to go watch it.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Did you see the Game of Thrones trailer?
I did not.
It was pretty cool. It was very simple, but it did its job.
It did its job.
Season
is going to be awesome.
Again, who is not going to watch the final season of Game of Thrones?
That's right. Yeah.
Right? Like, really, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, if you made it this far, I can't see you not watching the last season.
I'll just say top 10 scenes of any TV show ever is when they were, Jon Snow and the guys, the Watch, were fighting the Ice King by the water in that little village, right? And the few that survived are floating away in the boat, and the Ice King comes out in the dock and just raises his hand. I'm going, oh, no. And all the dead people stand up. I'm going, oh, wow. That was awesome. But the fact that I haven't read the books helps too, right? Because people that read the books would have expected that. But
the only thing, like, just to talk about Game of Thrones for a second, the only thing that I don't like about the past season or two is that it feels like it has lost its edge a bit, in that, you know, there's a big scene where Jon Snow and a bunch of guys were out beyond the wall searching for something, and they were attacked by the Ice King and his warriors and stuff. And, like, I don't feel like anybody could die at this point. Yeah. Like, you know that they've got an end game in sight.
Yeah.
And so there aren't just characters being killed off left, right, and center anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a bad thing, but it feels more like a regular TV show rather than the got to be on the edge of your seat, because, like, even Jon Snow could just take a sword to the neck type thing that it used to be.
Well, they did kill him and bring him back.
Like, come on. When they killed Ned Stark in the first season, like, here we are. What's his name? Not Jim Bean.
Sean Bean.
Yeah.
And this big, huge, big name actor in England, and he's done lots of stuff.
Lord of the Rings.
Sharp's Rifles was amazing.
Yeah.
The whole Sharp series, I should say. And they just head, spike, wall, and you're just like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Like, they set themselves up right there, first season, it was like, But then it got a bit formulaic. You always knew that the second last episode was going to be a massacre of some kind.
You know what I liked about that, though, was that they don't have, like, having the ninth episode of the season where something ridiculous happens, and then you get to see the aftermath, and then the season's over, instead of it just being like a cliffhanger after, like, somebody dies or whatever. Like, I love that they give us, like, a little bit of the aftermath.
Yeah.
Because that really helps keep you satisfied.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yes. But, yeah, episode 9 of every season, I started to get worried.
But that was another one of the scenes just a little bit after that where they were all fighting on the lake. And Daenerys comes with her dragon.
Yeah.
And the dragon goes down in the water and went, oh, no. I know exactly where this is headed.
But, like, I also feel like that was expected.
Yeah.
Like, Like, yeah. I felt like that was sort of like...
He needed a dragon on his side.
Yeah.
Right.
In order to make even things out or whatever.
Yeah. But. Even, I mean, that was the biggest one of the dragons, right? That was her. So it's going to be the big dragon versus the two smaller ones. But
the cool thing about the final season of Game of Thrones, I'm sure, and you can quote me on this, I'm sure it will end with a somewhat happy ending. Because they've put this much in, and George R.R. Martin isn't writing this anymore.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some sort of, like, happy ending. Maybe not fully happy, but, like, it's not going to end with, like, us as the audience just going, like, throwing things at our TV and yelling.
Yeah.
You know? But it could.
Yeah.
You know, like, because what if Cersei takes, what if she maintains control and kills Jon Snow? You know, like, what if she still stays as a ruler? You know, what if the Night King takes over everything?
Yeah.
These are plots that could happen in Game of Thrones. I just don't think they will.
Yeah. And that was one of the other, I mean, it had happened eventually, but that last season brought them pretty much all together.
Yeah.
Which was really cool, because we've always just seen them separate. But to have so many of them finally come together, that was good. And then how they convinced Cersei about the White Walkers, I mean, it all came together. It was, yeah, looking forward to that for sure.
Marty's just playing with toys.
I am.
Yeah, so we're looking at some Walking Dead news. So a couple days ago, they released three posters. It's the three characters, the three that are left, that were from the original first couple seasons. Anyways, I won't say the first season because Michonne's in there. And she didn't show up until second season, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so the three posters are Michonne, Daryl, and the other woman.
Maggie?
Nope. She's gone too. The one that... Carol.
Oh,
so
Carol.
Michonne, yeah. Michonne, Daryl, and Carol. They're the only three from the original kind of group that are left.
So far.
And then today we get this big shocking news announcement that the actress that plays Michonne says she's leaving. So, leaving the show. She'll be in the next season in a limited capacity.
Just like Rick and Maggie were in this season in a limited capacity.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, they say in the article that she's not gone. So, obviously, she's not going to die, but they're probably going to put her in the movie or whatever with Rick, whatever they're going to do with him.
I don't know, man. I'm like I said in the kitchen. I've seen one episode from the last season, but just all enthusiasm is kind of sucked out of me for the show.
Like I actually thought this first half of the season that we're currently on has been a lot of fun and good and more like the show that I like.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say it's worth staying on the bandwagon of the show. However, when Michonne leaves the show, what then? Like, I am struggling to care.
Well, isn't that happening in the comic book too? Like, isn't there, I think I overheard you guys saying, because I stopped reading the book a little while ago, but I overheard you guys say last year that it seems like this crew, this gang, their story is played out, their story is told, it's time to move on to a new adventure, a new set of characters in the comic. Is that what we're looking at the movie as well, at the TV show as well? Is it time for Walking Dead to be canceled and these spinoffs to kick in instead?
They're different mediums. It's like, I liked Fear the Walking Dead. I didn't. The thing about that show is there's like two people left from the original series, the original season, right? Which is cool because they brought in Morgan, which I don't think they needed to have Morgan on there to kind of boost up the ratings. But the girl in the big RV, the big police, that was pretty cool.
But that's what I mean. Like, that show has moved on from the original cast to tell new adventures. Is it time for this show to do the same? You know, because like Lincoln's left.
Maggie's
I'm mixing up their actors' names with the character names.
Yeah.
Rick is gone. Maggie's gone. Michonne's leaving.
They killed Carl.
Carl. Hey, Carl. I had some Wookiee steaks the other day. They were a bit chewy, Coral. They were a bit chewy. But, sorry, that meme just popped into my head. Greasy hair. It wasn't Daryl supposed to like spearhead the whole show and be the savior once Rick, the actor who plays Rick, announced he was leaving?
Yes. So he signed like a $10 million contract or something.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong, his character's awesome. But again, like, it seems like that's what we're revving up here for. A farewell tour, goodbye, so long, farewell, and let's kick off a few more Fear the Walking Dead type spinoffs.
Yeah.
And I mean, they definitely could have. Like with the introduction, with the jump, time jump forward and the introduction of the whole new group that just came to the show, like they can change the comics because some of those guys die in the comics quickly as a part of the Whisper War and whatnot. But they can change that. They can make this be, make them be the new thing. The problem is when you try to do it too fast.
Yeah.
Also, it's in season 9. Does it matter?
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe season 10 should be the end and they should just work it out and they can still do their movies and people will still watch those movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you don't have to have it'll have even more impact if the show's not on. When they're like, when AMC is like, all right, we got the Rick movie, and people will be like, oh yeah, that was cool. Let's watch this movie instead of just feeling like put off by the show, the never-ending show, and the never-ending comic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Whisperer Wars is gonna be a big change, but I don't know how long that's gonna last because it didn't last that long in the comics, really.
No.
But if the fair is coming up, and most of us know that something huge happens during the fair, I don't think they're gonna do exactly that because. If they do, then they're going to lose a couple more characters that have been around for a while. Maybe they will. Who knows? You never know.
At this point, though, I remember like thinking about this while watching the first half of the season, and I was like, they literally kill off 20 characters in the comic.
Mm-hmm.
Not big characters. Like, there's one big character, and then two big characters, and then a lot of characters that you. Maybe when they say their name and who they're related to, you're like, oh yeah, they're actually in a lot of scenes, but they don't do much. You know, they kill off 20 characters. They can't kill off 20 characters in the current show. Mm-hmm. They can't even afford to kill off two main characters because they've already killed off so many people.
Yeah.
They haven't introduced, like, and these are characters that aren't just fresh introduced characters that they kill off. Like, these are characters, this is meant to have a huge impact.
Yeah.
But even killing off those characters who are still on the show, you're going to be like, okay, so we got 5 people left in the entire show now? Like, I don't know.
Well, there was another time, they did a couple time jumps, right? Or was it one? Because
like, there was a small one, I think.
Yeah.
And then the big one.
And then the big one where, you know, everything is in chaos again. The saviors hate everybody. And there is a kind of peace, but not really with the saviors. Because, anyways, we'll see, I guess. I don't know.
Who?
No. I mean, the comic book is obviously working its way towards something, another huge battle of a new city.
Well, you guys were saying that one arc in the comic book seems like a single issue before.
Yeah, like you know, if you're reading anything in the first 100 issues of the comic, it feels like one of those issues is what takes 6 issues now. So I haven't read the last probably 2 or 3 issues, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm a bit behind too. Hopefully, I'll pick those up tomorrow. But, yeah, I guess we'll see. I read that they're doing an Invincible cartoon, an animated series, which the actor that played Maggie's boyfriend. Oh, my memory's. What's Steven Yeun or?
Glenn.
Glenn, thank you. Apparently, Glenn is doing one of the voices for the Invincible. Animated series.
Right on.
Have you guys read? I think Invincible is great. I don't know if you guys have read it or tried to get into it or not, but
I read it by trade for a long time. But then I'm trying to remember. there's this happened. It was Walking Dead, Invincible, and somebody else, another trade paperback. And there was some kind of a shipping problem or something like this. And I ended up missing three trades or something like this. And I didn't really realize because the trades take so long to come out, like 6 months or stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got a trade and I was like, what? I'm lost. What happened? And I looked back and there was a bunch missing. And so I ended up dropping them at that time. But I read Invincible at least issue 125.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How long did it go?
Like 150-ish, maybe.
Oh, so I almost read the whole thing.
I think you did, yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't too bad. But yeah, Invincible was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's funny. I find, well, Kirkman is hit and miss. Like, I did not like Outcast. I did not like the artwork. The artwork just totally turned me off. It was just...
Outcast also was one of those... Like, it's written in the new Walking Dead style where you have to read 6 issues to have the plot move forward just even the slightest bit. Like, I bought the first trade and I read it and I was like, that was a great one comic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just...
Yeah.
I don't have the money to pay Robert Kirkman to pad out his stories indefinitely.
Yeah. It's like he's got... Not... including The Walking Dead, he's got a couple other books on the go right now. Oblivion Song, which is okay. I do like to read it every month and see what's going on. It's not super spectacular. But the other one that he does is Die, Die, Die. And I love that comic. I think it's a great read. It's funny. It's violent. Really violent. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to read it, but it's...
No, I haven't had a chance to read that one.
It's a little risque with it basically revolves around triplets, but they hate each other and they all work for these, they all have these skills thanks to their father. We learn that he was, you know, a hitman or whatever, he trained them, but we also learned there was actually 4 there, right? And I'm not going to spoil it because I was shocked because it's just the way they do it, but because the fourth one in their lifetime leaves very early and not in a very good way. Think about the herd of elk that are running away from the wolf, and the wolf gets the one that's the slowest and the weakest, right? It's kind of like that, but I won't say much more. But
I think I read the first 3 issues of that. I think I have the first 3 issues.
It makes me laugh, and then it makes me go, oh, wow, right? But I think it's a good read. It's
not super padded? Like, you don't feel like he's just stretching the story out?
No.
Then maybe he actually enjoys the story and he's writing it for himself and not to just make money.
I'm sensing a Bendis level of hate.
No, I just realized that I don't like him.
I'm getting the anti-Bendis waves from the right and the anti-Kirkman waves from the left, and I'm feeling a bit Bill Maher-ish about it. You guys are really harshing my buzz.
I just think at this point of The Walking Dead, we shouldn't have to pay $24 American to read like the slightest plot moving forward.
Yeah.
It's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause something minor happens and they talk for a whole bunch of times and then it's over.
You're like, now it could be worse. I'm sitting here holding this month's previews, Marvel previews.
Mm-hmm.
And I counted twice now during the show and I've lost count twice. So I'm going to guess, because I think it's 17, but I'm going to be conservative and say 15. There are 15 titles coming out in, what is this, April? Yeah, April. There are 15 titles, Marvel titles, coming out in April that have Spider-Man in the name.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
And I didn't even look at family books. Like, there's 2 Venom books. One could argue that Venom is a Spider-Man family book, and there's a Spider-Gwen book. Yeah, there's a
new Carnage miniseries.
There's between 12 and 17, because I don't want to recount this, issues that have the word Spider-Man in. Marvel, Spider-Man, City at War, Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just like, what?
Yeah.
Same thing's happening with the X-Men books. You guys were talking about X-Men last week, how chaotic and crazy it is.
Yeah.
Like, do we need all of this of the same character over and over again?
Yeah, we don't. Weekly is bad.
Like
very bad.
Do you not think? I know we talked about this a little bit before when we were talking about the DC cutting their titles to only 52 a month and Marvel doing 90. All these people that are reading all these different Spider-Man comics, if they just concentrated on one or two titles at most, back in the day, Amazing Spider-Man, that's it. That's all they made. And they sold 250,000 copies.
Like they're going for quantity over quality.
But could they get that quantity in a single comic? Would people be more invested if all they did was Amazing Spider-Man?
Mm-hmm.
Forget the rest. Here's your Amazing Spider-Man issue. Right? Now, Amazing Spider-Man was popular enough. All of a sudden came Peter Parker's Spectacular Spider-Man. Yeah. And then there was two.
Yeah.
You know, and then there was Marvel Tales, the reprint issue that was doing old ones. I get that. I get reprint issues. I get that. Mm-hmm. Right? And then Web of Spider-Man. And then, you know, and it just keeps multiplying. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of, there's at least three Deadpool titles. Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. Yeah. Like, it just seems overkill.
Wow.
They did that with Avengers once. There was, like, all these different Avengers teams.
Yeah. Dark Avengers.
Dark Avengers.
Light Avengers.
Uncanny Avengers.
Gray Avengers. Yeah. I mean, this is a topic that just keeps going on and on, but variant covers. So. A little bit of an aside. I know we're not gonna, this is kind of specific. So, new Conan series.
Yes, right. Which I'm actually enjoying.
Right.
So, I used to read Conan as a kid in the magazines. I've read one and two so far. Not bad.
But like, I think it was a couple weeks or so before it came out. Almost every Marvel comic had a Conan fighting or with the people in the comic.
Yeah, because Conan coming back to Marvel after that amazing series that they had in the 70s, mm-hmm. it's a big deal, and it needed some promotion. Did it need 90 different covers?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Well, that was one response of one of the guys on the forums. Oh, they had to promote it so people knew that he was coming back. Did you need to see these variants to know that Conan number one was coming out in a couple weeks?
No.
So that argument, to me, is...
But you also care about Conan.
Yeah, but
if I went to the comic book store and didn't care about Conan or know about him, okay, I might be like, "Oh, cool,
but
what
would Conan on the cover of Runaways
yeah. make me buy the
make
book?
You
no.
buy the Conan book?
Yeah.
But it would make me go, "Oh, Conan."
That's what prompted
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But too late for final order cutoff date for you to have pre-ordered. The Conan comic. And with comic shops these days, I mean, I don't know if we want to get into Undercover Geek there, but with comic shops these days struggling as it is, mm-hmm. nobody is buying extra copies for the shelf, really.
Yeah.
You know, only the big, really successful comic shops are. So, you know, I see this Conan on my Uncanny X-Men. Well, I wouldn't because I'm not buying Uncanny X-Men because it's a ridiculous, nonsensical piece of junk. But that's another rant.
Agree to disagree, but that's okay.
Yeah, okay. You keep reading that 1990s rehash crap. I'm waiting for them to reboot the 80s team. Bring back Mark Silvestri. Anyways.
So the thing that prompted me with this is a guy on the forum said, "Wow, that looks like a cool issue with Conan and the X-Men. How was the story?"
And it was like, he's not in the story. In it.
Like, I was like, oh. And that's what the guy's like, oh, you got to promote the comic. Anyways, so then we get to something like this, which is Venom number whatever that has, like you said, like the 90s X-Men on the cover.
Why is there an X-Men variant cover of Venom?
Yeah, Venom's not there. Like, this is what I don't understand.
Well, it's just getting ridiculous, that's all. Yeah, it's just getting ridiculous. Like, if you want to release an issue of Harley Quinn and have six different artists draw six different renditions of Harley Quinn on the cover, at least it makes some sense. Yeah. But if you put Harley Quinn on the cover of Superior Spider-Man, not only will lawyers be involved, but it just seems like a ridiculous, nonsensical, you know, it's stupid. Hey, it's Fantastic Four month. Let's put Fantastic Four on every single cover, which they did.
Which they did do, yeah. I remember, yeah.
Hey, it's Black History Month. Let's put... we're not going to
do that. No, don't do that.
No, but, we're not going to put Black Heroes on every single issue for Black History Month. No,
let's put Captain America
on. But we'll put Captain America on every single issue, sure. You know, Captain Marvel's coming out. How much you want to bet there's going to be Captain Marvel covers?
Well, the next big anniversary issue is Batman.
Yeah, Detective 1000.
Detective 1000. And there have been some really cool covers. And yeah, some have just Catwoman. That's fine.
But it's the 1000th issue.
Yeah. But my point is that if you...
This is what? What was that? Venom number 8?
Yeah. If you bring out Detective 1000 with a variant cover of Green Lantern on it, just by himself.
That's dumb.
You're like, what?
At least have it thematically Batman. Like you said, Catwoman on the cover, right? Because Adam Hughes can only draw boobies. He can't draw anything else.
Yeah.
Or you know, Batmite or, you know, Nightwing. Like, somebody from the Bat family. Yeah. But
to have the X-Men, the team from the 90s. Or
have the 1990s blue. X-Men on the cover of Venom number 8. Now, I know it's the 1000th Venom number 8 that's been published.
Yeah.
I know. I get that. But
it's
the last one before the reboot.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just bananas.
While we have a second, I wanted to mention that Aurora Man is getting a physical trade paperback release. Nice. Jeff and Alfonso have teamed up to do that. It's the it's issue zero and all the mini comics that were released over the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's interested in a trade paperback of Aurora Man, you can check out the Aurora Man Facebook page. $20 for that. And Jeff's been practicing sketches for the inside.
Excellent.
So
there you go.
Should be good. I'll pick one of those up for the shelf.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I know I have, I'm pretty sure I have every single mini issue, but to have it all nice bundled up like that together would be really nice. I unfortunately was not involved in that project, so I haven't had a chance to see it ahead of time. But, you know, it's all put together and stuff, so it should be good.
Mm-hmm.
Should be good. Can I leak some news?
Leak
Maybe
away.
Maybe I'm not supposed to, but I'm just saying that there is a possibility that at the Pop Culture Canada Comic Conventions, there may be a very special reissue of Aurora Man number 0.
Oh, yes. Well, I don't know if that's leaking, because Jeff has been sort of posting that on Facebook that they're trying to do that. So,
yeah,
right.
Well, it's
because he was encouraging artists to send in their version
to do a sketch.
Of Aurora Man.
Yeah, he was.
Well, and a certain anonymous group that page was promoting it.
Yeah, there's a Save Aurora Man fundraiser page, and basically what it is we've just asked a bunch of artists to contribute some art. We're going to make it a big jam issue. David Wildstar is going to sell it as an exclusive variant at his comic conventions and stuff. So it's going to be super cool, super limited. You know, it's just neat. Like, I'm seeing some of the artwork that's coming in, and it's just really great stuff. Really great stuff. I'm probably going to pick up a few original pieces for my wall. Some of it looks pretty good. Other than that, I feel like we're winding down here pretty quick. I feel like we're going to be playing some exit music sooner than later. So tune in to this show next week. Pick up extra digital copies at heykidscomics.ca. Program your phone for Google Play, Apple iTunes, and Stitcher.
And I guess we should mention there's a certain voting thing going around currently that we're on.
Oh, yes.
So if you happen to see that floating around, click on Hey Kids Comics.
It's on our Facebook page.
Yep. Yes, I'll put a link on the Facebook page. We're up for another award. The number one podcast has 167 votes. We only have 58. So come on, guys. Let's go. I got 300 Facebook friends. Where are you? Come on. Sam's got 700 Facebook friends. Where are you, people? Vote, 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 vote. So I'll put a link on the website.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?